Preach in Jesus' name. We're glad to be here with you again this evening as we look at the purpose of the meeting this evening. According to the schedule, I have very little time to say some words. And so we will look at a series of scriptures that I've chosen to read. And the subject tonight is, that we're looking at, is about living lives that matter or that are proper and in right standing with God. Now, the words that are used in the Bible are varied, but often they are referring to being perfect and holy. And I think this is very important because he wasn't just speaking about this in the time of Christ. He spoke it to people years ago. In fact, one of the first times that is mentioned is God himself speaking to a man by the name of Abraham. And he's asking him to do something. Genesis 17:1, it says, "And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect." Now, I know that you're probably thinking, well, we can't do everything perfectly. And what God is speaking here is that he wants us to have a perfect heart towards him. He's not looking and saying that we're going to do everything always right. We're never going to make a mistake. That's not what he's looking. But he wants us to follow God all the time. And if we do that, that makes perfection. Now, perfection is not achieved by ourselves. It is achieved by walking with God. And it's God's action in us and through us that makes us perfect. So I want to leave that thought there. Now, that was the first time. Now, let's look at Leviticus 11. Moses was writing here to the priests, and this is what he said to the priests. "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy." Here he's telling the priests, you're supposed to be holy. Now, we go in the New Testament, and who are supposed to be the priests? The children of God. So we are supposed to be holy, for God is holy. "Neither shall ye defile yourself with any manner of creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." And again, the priests were supposed to be holy because God is holy. They were not to defile themselves, but also the Lord is saying, I brought you from Egypt, out of a land of sin, out of a land of debauchery. You're supposed to be holy because God is holy. So we see Moses is saying this to, writing this by God's command to the priests. Let's go to Micah. Micah 6:8. Again, the Old Testament prophet is speaking here. He's writing, and he says in verse 8, He has showed thee, O man, what is good. So God is showing us what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before thy God? Or to be humble in God's sight. So here again, he's talking to man. He's telling us that we are supposed to be justly, we're to love mercy, and to be humble before God. Now, let's turn into Matthew 5. Jesus speaking here in the Sermon on the Mount. And here again, he says, he's quoting part of the Old Testament, Matthew 5:48. He says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Again, he's bringing out that he's asking us to be perfect, to walk in perfection with him, to depend on him for perfection. Luke also writes it in Luke 6. He brings out this point again. Luke 6:38-36, it says, "Be ye therefore merciful, even as your Father also is merciful." So we are supposed to show mercy, extend mercy to other people and people around us. Colossians 1. Then we go now into the apostles' writings in Colossians 1. Paul is writing to the Colossians, and he writes it like this. He says, "When ye preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that he may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Again, there he is pointing out very specifically that our perfection does not come from ourselves, but it comes from Christ Jesus, walking and living with him, having the Spirit of God dwelling within us. Colossians 4, verse 12, it says, "Laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." Again, that thought of being perfect and complete, again, by the will of God. Then James wrote, in his epistle to the Christians scattered across the nations, and he wrote it like this. James 1:4, it says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Again, he's asking us to live life of perfections by Jesus Christ. And then in 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16, it says, "But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, as we see from Genesis all the way back to the Scriptures, it is asking people, children of God, to be perfect or holy, to be merciful and to justly. And all these things are important in our lives to live forth the Word of God. When we live in such a life, then all the commandments that God has given and asked people to do will fall into place and will become accomplished, because God is working in and through our lives. So with these thoughts in mind, let's just ask again this evening, how do we examine ourselves and to prepare ourselves for communion? And I used this before a couple of years ago, and so I'll just repeat it again. When John Wesley started the Methodist Church. He and a group of people had 21 or 22 statements that they looked at every day, and to try to examine themselves and to spur them on into greater growth. Now, I'm not going to necessarily use those, but some of the ideas have come from that list. In our Barnabas meetings, we asked each other about daily Bible reading and prayer life, and that's very good. We need to be encouraged in that and stimulated to do that. And so some of the first questions that we're going to be asking this evening to ask yourselves and ask myself, the first one is, am I closer to God today than I was a year ago? Now, Sunday evening, we were challenged by the idea of growth. Most of you were not in that meetings. Marianne and I were. And one of the pictures he had a picture of a man that was lifting big barbells with heavy weights on. Not barbells, a weight bar with heavy weights on above his head. And he asked the question, was this man able to do that the first time he lifted the bar? And, of course, the question was, no, he couldn't. We asked the question, well, how did he get there? And so the answer was, of course, by everyday practicing, lifting weights every day. And so as you think of that example of how the man became strong by doing exercise every day, so a Christian becomes stronger by exercising the reading of God's scriptures. And the question was asked, if this man would only exercise once a month or lift weights once a month, would he be able to do what he did, the end result? Of course, the answer is no. You do not go to the table and you eat one day, and then you live 30 days, and then you eat again. No, that doesn't work that way. It's the daily activity that spurs us on into growth. So, the question is, are we closer to God now than we were a year ago? I can't answer that for you. You'll have to answer that yourself. So the question comes, are we reading God's word so that we can grow by reading his word? If the answer is yes, How or what am I doing to keep growing in the coming year? What are we going to be doing to keep growing in the coming year? Again, the question or the answer would be to keep up on reading and to read the Word of God and letting it talk to you. Spiritual growth is not static or still. To keep growing, we must be willing to continue to put an effort into spiritual discipline. So, how are we doing in the area of worship? Are we worshiping God in our morning devotions? Questions we can ask. Do you feel a closeness to God in your morning devotions? Does God speak to you through the written word? Does God's Spirit minister to you and prompt you to do things in your morning devotions? Those are all areas that we need to examine ourselves. How is our prayer life? Who am I praying for? What am I praying for? And how are you praying? And how often am I praying? I think the Sunday school lesson was a challenge to us when we looked at Paul singing at midnight. Why did he sing at midnight? Because of Psalm 119:62, I think it says about that he will get up at midnight and sing God's praises. And I think Paul did that. How's our service to God? Are we doing something for God once a month? Or do we do it once a week? Or are we doing it once a day? Or can it be done more often than once a day? Or can it be done all day long? Yes, that's really what we should be doing. We should be serving God all day long. And if we're not serving Him in this way, what is the problems or what is the cause that is causing us to not serve Him? What's coming in the way that we don't serve Him all the time? Those are questions we need to ask. Are there some habits that will keep us from doing this? Is there some possessions that is keeping us from doing this, or work that we're involved in that keeps us from doing this? Or those are questions we need to ask and examine ourselves. What is overwhelming you in your life? We need to ask that every once in a while. What overwhelms us in circumstances or situations that impacts our spiritual life? What overwhelms us to limit us to be available for God, or the ability to trust God, or to the ability to experience God's peace? What does the Bible live in you? Are you an expression of God's word to people who don't know anything about God? Or people who know of God but don't live for Him? Are you an expression of God's word to them? It can be done by words, it can be done by actions, and it can be done by helping others. There's many ways that our lives should be interacting with people who do not know God. And if God's Spirit is within us, we should be having effect upon them. Is there something that God has asked you to do that I am not willing to do, or that you are not willing to do? If so, then you need to look at why that is. And you need to try to resolve that with God so that you are a ready servant for Him. Are we enjoying our relationship with God? Is God's joy growing within our heart? Is our heart impacted by God's joy? And is it living, are we living it out in our living? Another thing we need to check is, am I financially faithful to God? Financial faithfulness is more than just putting something in the offering plate as it goes by. Financial faithfulness is being obedient to God in the matters of money. Being financially faithful to God has less to do with money and more to do with our heart. And the Old Testament talks about asking the questions if we are robbing God. In the Old Testament, it was very specifically commanded that we should give a tenth of our money to God. And the New Testament doesn't necessarily specifically say that, but it says that we are to give gifts and offering to God. But as a pattern, most of the time, a pattern would be still to give a tenth to God. So, you know, you look at what you earn, you look at what you own, and you come to a point where God ministers to you and says, tells you what you need to be doing in that area. And so it has more to do with our heart than actually money. But when our heart is right, then the money will be taken care of too. Another question. Did somebody hurt you in the past year? And if so, have you been able to forgive them? And have you hurt somebody in the past year? And if so, have you tried to make reconciliation? Those are some questions that I cannot answer for you. Only you can answer those questions. But those are some of the things that we need to examine ourselves. Are we willing to forgive? Are we forgiving like Jesus did? Jesus was the great example of forgiveness. And so we lay that out to you and to myself. How do we forgive? What is our priorities in the coming year? Are we thinking about how much money we're going to make and all that? Or are we going to be thinking about what we can do for God during our work and our service and our worship and our just every day, wherever we are, whatever we do, are we thinking of what we can do for God? And we need to prioritize our calendar, our checkbook, so that God can be glorified and in whatever we do. In any life situation that comes our way, we need to be aware that God is in control and that God really wants us to be perfect and holy people in His sight. And God is the only one who can make us perfect. God is the only one who can make us holy, because perfection and holiness are attributes of God. Man ourselves are not perfect, and we are unrighteous. And so only as God imparts that to us can we be what God really wants us to be, perfect and holy people. And when we are that, God can minister to others through us, and he can be glorified.